The New Testament lesson today comes to us from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 6, beginning at verse 2. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride, for all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So that whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. This is the word of the Lord. In just over a week, it's going to be Valentine's Day. I was in the drugstore the other day, and the signs of the coming holiday were unmistakable. The seasonal shelves were filled to overflowing with all those little trinkets and goodies people wish to purchase for that special person. There were the heart-shaped boxes of chocolates, of course. Small, medium, large, and diabetic coma. There were giant solid milk chocolate hearts. There were those packets of punch-out cardboard Valentines for the kids in elementary school to hand around to their classmates. Of course, there were bags of those pasty little candy hearts with the slogans imprinted on them in red dye number 2. Be mine. My baby. Call me. Text me, it's the 21st century after all, and the ever-popular hot stuff. The grab-and-go bouquets of flowers weren't out quite yet, but we know they're coming soon. Everybody knows the drill on Valentine's Day, especially the guys. You don't show up back home without something in your hand, something fragrant or sweet, or both. You just don't do it. That's how we communicate love in our popular culture. With candy and flowers and lacy pink greeting cards. It's all good, although these things do suffer a little by comparison with what we read of love in 1 Corinthians 13. We've been spending a lot of time in recent weeks and months slowly unpacking that great chapter of Holy Writ. We've been examining the things Christian love is not: envious, boastful, arrogant, rude, insisting on its own way, irritable, resentful, rejoicing in wrongdoing. Last Sunday, we turned the corner at last, speaking no more of things love is not, beginning to examine the things love is. The first of these characteristics that we looked at last week is that love rejoices in the truth. Then, continuing our slow dance through this chapter, we come now to verse 7. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. We are way out of candy hearts territory here, my friends. This love is neither lighthearted nor frivolous. It's a buckle down, roll up your sleeves, get to work sort of love. There are 4 different verbs in this verse, each of them followed by that objective phrase, all things. The original Greek is actually a good bit simpler. Love bears all, believes all, hopes all, endures all. That's what the verse literally says, elegant in its simplicity. The first and the last characteristics of love in that list are virtually identical. You can think of them as a set of bookends. Love bears all things, and love endures all things mean virtually the same thing. Paul uses 2 distinct Greek words here, but the meaning is very similar. This morning we'll look at the first of those phrases. Love bears all things. The Greek word stego is related to the word for roof or covering. Now, I've heard some Bible commentators make a good deal of that, saying essentially, when you're in love, your beloved has got you covered. But I think that's a little far-fetched. The emphasis is not on the covering, but rather on the supporting, on the way the roof is held up. I think the meaning is simple. A roof of a house needs something to bear it up. This is load-bearing love we're talking about. If you've ever seen one of those fast motion videos of an Amish barn raising, you can picture how it works in your mind's eye. First, the carpenters frame out the four walls and the ground with 2x4s, and when they're ready, they slowly raise them upright. They set the framed out walls upon the foundation, join them to each other, and atop of them they lay stout beams crosswise. On top of the beams go the gables, and on top of the gables go more 2x4s, spaced very close together. It's on top of these, finally, that the sheets of plywood get nailed down, and on top of them some tar paper, and on top of them the roof shingles. The whole roof assembly is perhaps the heaviest part of the whole structure, but it's absolutely essential. Where would a building be without its roof? And where would the roof be without its bearing walls? You'd better make sure those walls are stoutly constructed, or disaster will be not far behind. So when Paul says love bears all things, it's as though he's saying love is the bearing wall of the relationship. It's what holds everything up. I had the experience of bearing something this past week. Some of you know I went in last Monday for a biopsy of several lymph nodes in my neck, as well as some tiny nodules located in my thyroid bed, the place in my neck where the thyroid gland used to be before it was removed in thyroid cancer surgery 5 years ago. I want to be clear here, we're not ringing the alarm bells. Thyroid cancer does need to be addressed with medical treatment, but it's usually a very slow-moving disease. It can often be treated with a watch and wait approach. For me, undergoing the biopsy meant lying on a table, very still, while an interventional radiologist inserted a needle into my neck several times to remove tiny tissue samples. This happens while the doctor is looking at an ultrasound screen, using it to aim the needle very precisely. Amazing technology. They don't use anesthetic for this procedure because the needle is so tiny. It hurts just a little more than getting a blood sample drawn from your arm, though it lasts a good bit longer. I'm well aware that on the scale of pain, this test is not way up there, but it's not something anyone would choose to do out of idle curiosity. A couple days later, I got a phone call from my doctor, giving me some news I didn't want to hear. It seems the samples they drew were not the right stuff. When they put the tissue samples in a microscope slide, they couldn't see what they needed to see. So I'm going back in tomorrow and repeat the whole procedure. Those biopsies, both the one I had and the one I'm going to have, are something I have to bear. There's not a chance I'm not going to do it, though, and the reason is love. I love myself. The doctor says knowing what's going on in my lymph nodes is essential to maintaining my health, so tomorrow I'm going to ride the train up into the city and lie down on the examining table once again. It's fairly easy to do that when we love ourselves. But here's the thing. What if you or I were offered the opportunity to do something like that to help someone else? And what if that someone else were a perfect stranger? Jesus says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now there's where the rubber meets the road. It so happens there is a way to help perfect strangers that's kind of like that. It's called bone marrow donations. There's a national bone marrow registry. It's easy to get onto that list. You just send in a DNA sample, a swab of saliva from inside your cheek. But here's where it gets real. If you turn up as being matched with a patient needing a bone marrow or stem cell transplant, you've agreed to go in and have a doctor draw a sample of bone marrow from inside your pelvic bone using a long needle. It's mildly painful and a good bit nerve-wracking, just like my lymph node biopsy. I happen to know exactly what that's like, though, because I've had bone marrow biopsies myself twice, and it's similar to what a donor goes through. In the universe of painful medical procedures, it is a very small planet, maybe even an asteroid. But it is painful. It's painful but tolerable, and I'm sure you'd feel great potentially saving someone's life, but it's not something anyone would do casually. I can't sign up as a bone marrow donor myself because as a cancer survivor, they don't want my marrow. I asked myself this week, though, Would I do it if I could for a perfect stranger? Would I do it not because I love myself, but because my Lord has called me to love my neighbor? I hope you get a sense from this example of what it means when we say, love bears all things. Today's New Testament lesson from Galatians chapter 6 says this: bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. We all have burdens to bear in life. It simply goes with the territory. Some of us struggle mightily just to bear our own burdens, but as Christians we're called to do something more, to bear one another's burdens. Who does that? Well, we do, if we're serious about being Christ followers. If we are at all serious about that, you and I have taken some time to consider the burden Christ has already borne for us. That burden is the cross. Our Lord staggered down that Jerusalem street long ago with that heavy wooden beam laid across his shoulders. That was his burden. And when he reached Calvary's hill at last, they raised the beam up to the top of the upright and nailed him to it. In his agony, what he was bearing was our sin. Not his burden, but ours. And why? Because of love. Because of love for us. As we gather around this table today, we celebrate the feast of love. The bread we break and the cup we share are our way of remembering. Remembering that we are so deeply loved as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.